Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. If you are listening live, it's like a really lovely day. We're finally like moving out of some pretty harsh weather here in old Canada and moving into some actual like springtime for real. But let's see what happens in the next few weeks, because I think I said that last year. And then we got hit by a massive ice storm that took like weeks to recover from. And in fact, we still have trees on our property that fell during that ice storm, and we're still recovering. We're still grieving the loss, guys. And today we're going to be talking about grief. Do you like how like my segues are amazing? I know. So we're going to be talking about grief. We're going to be talking about grief because why all relationships end, whether the relationship ends because of a breakup or a death, relationships end. We know that. We know that for real. So we'll be getting real on that. It's not, you know, it's not the pleasure zone without talking about all aspects of relationship. Although usually we do talk about all things kink and fun and play and, you know, recovering from traumas, because that's a lot of fun too. And loss is a trauma as well. So this just kind of falls into line with all of that. And we really can't be in relationships and feel and have growth until we acknowledge and admit where we're at in life in general. So we are going to be diving into grief and relationships. And you've probably heard of the five stages of grief. But there has been other information that people have been writing about. And so I found some other articles out in the world. There's one from a site called Very Well Mind that talks about seven stages of grief. And I thought that was a really cool take on it, because there are two additional stages are ones that we often don't even necessarily think about. So why do I even talk about this stuff? One of the reasons I love talking about sex and relationships and intimacy. Well, let me take you all the way back to when I was like four. And relationships for me have always been, I think, fascinating. I think I watched a lot as a kid, probably poked my nose in where it wasn't welcome. And my parents got separated when I was four. So I don't know if you guys know my backstory, but when I was four, my mom had enough. And so she up and left my dad one day and took us with her. And in that time, I remember there being like, I was so sad for my dad. I also didn't understand the full dynamics of everything that's going on that I know now. I know why she left, and I value why she left, and I'm grateful that she did for my sanity and for everybody. Actually, it was the best choice. She made the best choice for everybody, even though it was probably a hard choice to make, especially at the time in the 1970s. You didn't see a lot of people going through divorces. So I think even in my school, there might have been like two people who came from a divorced family and then one kid who had a dad who had died. And that was in a school of well over 100 kids. So it wasn't that common going through that. So even when you're not the person who has gone through the breakup itself, if you're the child that, you know, is the product of the breakup, I was a product of a breakup, and then my parents got together again, and then there was another breakup. So yeah, technically I am the product of a breakup. So when I look at how that affected me as a kid, and the loss in the mourning and the wanting to and grieving the way that our family was, even though our family wasn't functional, I didn't know any different, right? So as a kid, being in that whole scenario was still sad, right? And you start to think like, as a kid, you start to think that it's you, like you must be the reason, because you're the one who, like I'm the one who was doing things that I must have been part of the reason, because I was definitely not a quiet child. I stood up for myself and I fought for my right for things. Can you imagine? Anyway, it's one of those things, like reflecting back, when was the first time I remember grief? But actually, as reflecting back, I remember grief even earlier than that. It's weird. So I'm just sitting here kind of thinking about grief in my life. And the very first time I remember witnessing grief was when my grandfather had died. And I know this might be weird for you guys to imagine, but I was maybe a year and a half or 2 years old. And I very vividly remember my dad hearing that his dad had died and his reaction to that. And then he was gone. My dad left for like, it felt like forever. And then he left and he came back. And, but I was also, because I was so little, I was also like, who is this guy who came back? Like, it was also very confusing. And I remember the being there in the like experience of grief. And, that how that impacted the family and how that impacted everybody. It wasn't just us, how it actually, that grief, the death of my grandfather changed a lot, because my mom couldn't manage like the business she had with just two small children to look after and running a bakery and working 18 hours a day while my dad went back to Serbia, to Yugoslavia at the time, to be able to navigate all the stuff around his father's passing. And so it changed the entire trajectory of their relationship and their lives and everything. Grief is a funny thing, and it changes a lot of stuff. So whether it's grief from death or grief from a breakup, it can change. That change can change the entire trajectory of what you thought your life was going to be. And so why I do talk about this is because I do remember witnessing a lot of things as a child. And also I talk about sex and intimacy on this show because I'm fascinated by it. But I also talk about relationships because most of my life I was the mediator. Whether my parents realized it or not, my dad would intentionally not speak English to my mom, and he still often doesn't. And my mom does not speak Serbian, so she ended up sort of learning and can pick up things here and there. But to this day, my parents rarely speak directly to each other, and it's been like 46 years since the 7 years since they broke up. And it's rare. They can be in the same room for days and not even speak to each other. So it's awkward. So I've been the middle ground mediator, and I've pointed it out to them many, many times. And so there, I feel like that's something that I just came by that naturally, and I can see both people's perspectives on things. I don't necessarily agree with both perspectives, but I can see them both because it's their life and the way they experienced it. You can't deny somebody the way they experienced it, even though you know that that's not necessarily accurate. So what are we going to talk about? Is we're going to talk about these more, there's so many more stages of grief. We have a lot of people know about the main five stages that are like denial, and then there's like anger and like anger, rage, and all those kind of deep feelings. And there's also, bargaining and negotiation, and then there's sadness, like crying, and then there's acceptance. What the two additions that there's now being added to this from the articles, so a couple articles that I was reading, is number one as being ambivalence, and number seven is being growth and moving on. And I think that's really important to add those in there. Like acceptance is one thing, but then the movement forward is also really important. So let's talk about ambivalence, because it's not something that's very often really looked at. So ambivalence is like where you're starting to question and wonder, did I do the right thing? It's a little different than denial. Denial is where you're saying, well, that didn't happen. It's also your nervous system's way of trying to figure out what did happen. But in ambivalence, we're looking at things like thinking, okay, the breakup, that was the right choice. Was it? Was that the right choice? Wasn't it the right choice? And sometimes questioning it. Maybe it could have worked. Maybe if I just, didn't make the things that were important to me, maybe if I just allowed them to just do things that I just don't agree with. A lot of times people will question it, and then even though had they stuck around and all did all these changes that could have made it work, they would have twisted themselves into such a pretzel that they wouldn't even recognize themselves anymore, and they would actually be miserable. It wouldn't be worth it. So generally, 99% of the time when you've had a breakup, it's been for the right reason. So if you're wondering and you're like, did we do the right thing? You might find later on that maybe you didn't. And if you're lucky enough, that person is willing to come back and have a conversation about it. But sometimes the breakup, it was the right choice. So we're going to go with the ones that were the right choice and the breakup was, absolutely the thing to do. And you could be just running through all the memories too, which can be kind of exhausting for your mind, your body, your heart, soul, all of it. You can just become exhausted from running the scenarios in your head. Well, what if we did this different? What if we had had this conversation? What if we had gone to therapy? What if this? What if that? Take a deep breath, breathe out, just do some breathing. When your head starts rushing like that, that's the time when you need to stop and breathe. And just know that the what ifs are actually going to drive you absolutely nuts. What if I did this? What if I said that? What if she had done this instead? Holy smacks, none of it happened. It probably wasn't going to happen. Have gratitude for the moments that were great and heal the stuff that you keep on repeating. If you find that you keep on getting into a trend and a new cycle where you're like having the same scenarios run over and over and over again in relationships, heal that cycle. Whether you go for different types of therapy to break those cycles, like EFT, like tapping to get yourself out of that, or whether you're doing different cognitive behavioral things to be able to get yourself out of those loops, you need to get out of the loop. That way you're not going to get back into a loop. One of the things that can happen too is that you end up being so when you're in the ambivalent stage, you're probably also just like wondering too, like what is your life going to be like? What are you going to do next? And then at the same time as looking forward really far, you're also looking back really far. So it's like your head's going back and forth, and soon you're going to dislocate your neck. Because you can't stop looking in so many directions into the extremes of going so far in the past and being nostalgic and going so far into the future that now you're dreaming. But the dreaming is fine. It's just that you need to also be somewhat present. Being somewhat present or wholly present would be great. And then you might also have that whole the mixed emotions of like not really knowing if it was the right choice. So you might feel relief that the abuse is over, but at the same time, you might feel sad that you're alone, or you might feel relief that you're no longer with an addict. But at the same time, you're like, well, they had one good quality. So this is a good time to just think of this concept, raise the bar, guys. So when you're in an ambivalent stage and you're looking to the past, it's okay to raise the bar, but we're going to talk about that, about steps moving forward. And this drowning in nostalgia can often be like re-traumatizing you, because as you're looking at things like pictures and thinking about memories, all that stuff, your body does not know the difference. When you re-experience the emotion, your body doesn't actually know the difference between that happening right now or that happening in the past. And a lot of times with things like talk therapy, even when you're talking about things like grief and loss or trauma, telling the story repeatedly can become re-traumatizing. And also what it can end up doing is that you might end up telling the story so many times you become numb to it, And then it has no, it's not that it becomes insignificant, it's that you're now frozen from it. So your nervous system is so overtaxed by dealing with it that you are now in the state of frozen. So how do we deal with the ambivalence? Like, how do we move forward? So first of all, just remember that it's okay to have conflicting feelings. It's okay if you're like feeling nostalgic. It's okay if you're feeling happy. It's okay to feel both of them at the same time. It's okay to feel love for somebody and at the same time feel the most distaste, even hate that you've ever felt in your life, and you might feel them simultaneously. The most important thing is all feelings are valid, right? We can't say that enough. Just all behaviors are not. So as much as you might feel hate, it doesn't mean that you need to go send out a burning bag of poop onto their front doorstep or something. Like, you don't have to get weird about it. Deal with it, express it, feel it, know that it's there, and then acknowledge that you might actually be in this next phase, right? But you can also, if you are going to get overly nostalgic, look at your pros and cons list. Like, what were the pros of being in that relationship with that person, and what was the cons list on the cons list as well? Because, and what was the like meant didn't really matter list? A lot of times you'll find when you do that pros and cons list is that there were far more things that didn't work than did work, and it's time that it's okay to let it go. And sometimes you can be grieving a relationship, can even be like a friendship, and there was a lot of pros to the friendship, but there were some dynamic things that maybe were just that just couldn't work anymore. And unfortunately, sometimes those like handful of things can be the reason why it has to be over. So it's not easy, but it does happen quite often. And so now what do we do? And we learn to grieve, and it's okay to grieve. So you can actually, I think I talked about this briefly before about my great grandmother being a master of grief. Holy cow, I was just on a rant and I didn't even realize what happened. Time flew. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email. info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, sweet pleasure seekers. Just before break, I slightly mentioned my great-grandma and how I mentioned her on the show before around grief. And she had an amazing method. And it wasn't that she talked about her method, and it wasn't that she necessarily spread the word on it. It was just through observation. So she had, gosh, I don't know how many kids she ended up having in her life, seven maybe. I haven't really sat and thought about that for a bit. But her second child, his name was Jack. When he was 2 years old, he ended up taking a bunch of medicines. And medicines at the time came in bottles that pretty much the same bottles were used for candy. And candy and like mints and medication looked pretty much equal. So fair enough, he probably didn't know, and he's 2 years old. And he ended up taking an entire bottle of heart medication at the age of two and died right there on the spot. And so you can imagine the grief and the shock and everything else that my great grandmother went through. Well, at the time, she had another child that was pretty little. Or was she was pregnant with. Anyway, she went on to have several other children after that. And then she ended up having a son born on the same day as when Jack died. So every year on that day that Jack had died, my great grandmother would grieve. She would grieve the loss of Jack, and she did this pretty much until she lived to 106, and she did it until she went into the nursing home. She had his shoes, his little shoes, and she had a little something else that was his, and she would sit with it and she would cry. She would cry in the morning, and then in the afternoon she would bake a cake for her son that was living. She always gave herself, and so she had that son when she was 19 or 20. So we're talking for 80 years she grieved the loss of her son. And every year she gave herself permission to grieve, and she gave herself like, this is my time to grieve. And she did it quietly. She kind of did it on her own. Then she would celebrate the birth of the other child. And I think she had such an amazing method in that she allowed the grief and she deeply felt and expressed it. And then she deeply felt and expressed joy so that she didn't wallow in it for life. She experienced both. I think that is why the woman lived to 106, even after eating things like Cheese Whiz. But anyway, that's a cute story about my great grandma. So she wasn't also in denial, right? She probably had that time of denial, but we're going to move on to that next stage of relationship. Relationship and just grief, right? Grief all has to do with relationships to everything and anything. So, first, there's probably a bit of a shock that happens, and then grief. And what happens with shock is that our body's nervous system goes into fight or flight and sometimes into freeze. And then denial is kind of like a way for our nervous system to protect our bodies from feeling the depth of pain that we have. So denial is like stopping all of the adrenaline from coming up. Denial can also be the way that just like lets the feelings get expressed very slowly. So in denial, there's just a refusal to accept reality. Like, oh no, we've been through this before. We can fix this. We'll be okay. Everything's going to be okay. We'll get back together. We'll resolve this. It's going to be fine. Especially if the person's still alive, the denial is usually even bigger than when somebody dies. The denial is more about how they died or why they died or that they died. But when it comes to when somebody's still alive, the denial is more like, yeah, that's not real. We're going to get back together for sure. We have to get back together. That's what we do. We get back together. We fix it. And as much as we have those feelings, the reality is usually that doesn't work, does it? So being able to acknowledge the denial, just acknowledge, well, really, I'm in denial right now, can be incredibly helpful. And acknowledge that you're in denial, because if you start denying the denial, then you start to actually convince yourself that the breakup never happened. And if you think the breakup never happened, you keep continuing to like contact that person and think you're supposed to hang out and like everything's all fine because, hey, there's nothing wrong here. We're going to get back together. We always get back together. It's where, everybody decides we'll get back together to see the dog. Yeah, we have a shared dog together, so that dog's going to be what brings us back together, because that's what happens in the movies. Well, no, No, you probably left that person for a good reason, or they left you for a good reason. So let's move through denial and start to stop denying the denial. Accept the fact that maybe you're in denial. Try not to wallow in the denial until you become delusional. And the denial too comes with like staying in touch with somebody on a regular basis. Like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? They want to continue being friends throughout all of it, which is really hard for some people. They can't do the friend thing, and I get that. I can now randomly have like a happy birthday to exes, but it's not like I hang out with them and their families. And I also, I wish them everyone except one, and they should know who they are because I had a child with that person. Everyone except for one, I really truly wish all the best. The one that I had a child with, well, you guys know the story. I don't have to say anything else. So, and when you are in denial of a breakup, you can start to lose yourself because now you're starting to think like, well, for one, you've lost touch with reality. And you need to actually get back in touch with reality. Remember that you've broken up. You don't need to be reminded regularly that there was a breakup. Somebody doesn't need to keep telling you, we're broken up. Stop this. We're broken up. That's awkward. And you need to grieve it. You need to let go and just don't keep trying to contact the person that you're with because the no contact can be really helpful, especially if you cannot manage to have a relationship without getting things kind of, what's the word for it? Messy. Like you can't get messy in it. And you're like, but I still love you. Okay, well, that's awkward. Yes, you can still love them, but they don't need to hear it. If you broke up with them, you broke up with them, whether you still love them or not. You broke up with them because something didn't work for you. And if you broke up with them just to see how you're going to get back together or how they're going to play that out, well, that's just playing games. Don't do that. It's not what mature people do. So avoiding contact can be really helpful because if you keep on contacting them and trying to find out how they are and what they're up to, you're going to start to lose all these other stages of grief for once. So that means you won't get to that stage of moving on. And the whole point is to be able to learn to move on. And then, of course, there's going to be anger, right? The anger and maybe the resentment and the I just want to slap that person. Maybe you have all those feelings. So, the feelings of hurt that come out. And that can be feelings of hurt around what they did, whether they had physical things that they did, physical harm to you, or emotional harm. But when you're feeling hurt, all of those thoughts will come up. When you're in anger mode, everything that upsets you will come up. But also, all the stuff like if you're trying to still resolve something with them and they're not answering your phone and you're like, how dare you leave me? How dare you ignore me? All that kind of stuff. Or you're trying to send messages that will have them fight you. Because now you're in acceptance, but you're like, oh yeah, you're not really fully accepting. You've kind of moved past denial. Now you're like, oh, now I'm angry. How dare you have even broken up with me? I'm the best person that ever happened to you. I remember being told because I had a child, nobody would ever want to be with me. Much to my surprise, my husband loves the fact that he didn't have to change diapers. So you never know. If you have children and you're thinking, well, nobody ever want me because I have a child, that's crap. But I really had that really burned into my brain a lot by having somebody tell me that repeatedly. Plus, I was not attractive. And also, guys, I don't know if this surprised you, I'm not Asian. That's another thing I was told. You're not Asian. And apparently that was supposed to be hurtful to me. I was utterly confused by it. I didn't know I was supposed to be Asian. But if I had been, that would have been beneficial. So, they start picking fights about weird things like that, like you're not even Asian. You don't make a good Christian wife. Didn't know I was trying to be a good Christian wife. Wasn't even the person's wife. So they will try to have fights with you just to find ways to connect, because fighting is still a connection. And then they will start to blame you for everything. Well, you made me do that to you. Well, you made me hurt you. Well, you made me do this. And then the crazies happen, right? So it gets weird. The anger comes out and it often doesn't stop. Guys, we're going to head to the next break because actually talking about this is making me a little bit sweaty. It's bringing up some emotion, and I'm going to go have some water and breathe and come back to this. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. This is a show all about, an episode all about grief in relationships. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're looking at grieving relationships and the different stages of grief in relationship. We're going to get through all of them, I promise you, even if I have to make some of these shorter than me ranting on about things. So we moved on to step 3 of 7, which normally there's about 5 stages of grief. But I did find an article that included 2 more, which I think ambivalence was a really good one. And then moving on as well, and some tips on how to do that. So we're still kind of in the anger phase right here. Why are we in that? Because it's sometimes one of the ones that we ignore and then we can't move past. So whether it's that you move through it through dance, there's like Mama Gina, Regina Thomas-Hauer in Pussy of Reclamation talks about swamping. And like in swamping, you do this movement that's very base chakra. You do it to some like really tribal rhythmic beats, and you really feel deeply into your body and let that come up and move out of you. I find movement for me is one of the best ways to get anger out. So it could just be, you know, using a focus mitt for punching or using movement, stomping, anything, you know, so that it's not hurting others and it just moves anger out. And, you know, that could be for any anger. It doesn't just mean anger directed towards a partner. Screaming is great, too. I'm lucky enough to have a space that I can do that and not disturb like an entire neighborhood. If you ever need to just come and scream, come on down, connect with me. I actually love doing guided screaming. So it sounds funny, but it's like a really fun method of getting anger out. So channeling it through movement, sound, some people do art, music, anything like that, exercise. And then With the anger, you need to be really clear on what you are and aren't okay with. So setting up definitions of what behaviors you find acceptable. Like, are you okay with being texted? If you're not, say you're not. Or showing up at different places where it's going to trigger your anger, right? So like going to family events together. Maybe that doesn't work for you, right? Maybe that's still triggering and still brings up rage. So if it does, that means that there's still some stuff to be going through. But if you know that you have some good boundaries around it, then that's cool. If you can also just really reflect on your own growth, like instead of worrying about what are they doing and oh, that idiot never even changed, never wanted help, it doesn't really matter what they wanted to do or didn't do. What matters is, are you seeking help? Are you moving on? Are you healing? Because your healing is more important to you than their healing for them. Even the things like being angry that, oh, well, when they broke up with me, they finally got, they were, oh, kind to somebody and they never were kind to me. I've seen this actually happen in a few relationships with friends of mine where it's like when they've broken up, the husband has moved on to some new relationship and then treats the new partner's children like completely different than he treated his own and treats them way kinder. And it's kind of mind-boggling. And that the anger comes up a lot of times for people because they're like, why couldn't they have just been that in this relationship? If they could have just been that, things could have been so much better. The thing is, they couldn't have been that with you. For whatever reason, whether they didn't feel like they could be that with you or they didn't want to be that with you, it wasn't going to happen. And they could be that with somebody else. So it's not even worth dwelling on. What's worth looking at and dwelling on is how can you be that energy for you if that's something that you feel is missing? And then how can you invite that energy into your life too? And oftentimes it's when you're being that energy yourself, you can invite it into your life. So we get into the anger, which can sometimes get ugly, and sometimes it, comes back, and sometimes dwelling on it will make you think about the anger too. But then there's also, just as in with when there's death, there's also the bargaining that can happen. And you might come to a place where you like you were really mad that they broke up with you, but now you're like, oh, but can we just, if we only had another chance, I could be such a much better person, and I promise, and I promise, and I promise. And then sometimes you give a person five chances, and all their promises meant nothing because they really couldn't be that for you. And they couldn't even be that for themselves, really. So the promises, the promising, and the negotiating, and the bargaining, and the, oh, let's try and do this again, let's try and do this differently, it can work when both partners are committed to that. And it can work when both partners truly want to be in that. So in the grief phase, though, the chances are that if you are promising to be different, I'd say when you're still in the grieving phases, you're actually doing this from a place of loneliness and desperation, and you're probably not going to stick to it, or the other person isn't going to stick to it. And the healing comes when you've had that space for yourself to be able to navigate everything and heal on your own. Promising to change generally doesn't happen. And seeking compromises usually doesn't happen either. Like, let's go to couples therapy, which can work if you actually go to couples therapy. But if you just promise to and then never do it, that doesn't work. Or if you're just like, well, you go first. And then if it works for you, then I'll come. Couples therapy means together. And you do often do things on your own, and they do things on their own, and then you come together, and then you do things together. Because I've had people just send their spouses to me, and I'm like, and what about you? Because this isn't just about one person. This is relationship coaching. That means there's two of you involved. And when there is two, and you can actually work with both people effectively, because they allow you to, you can actually have a really great opportunity to heal. But before the breakup even happens, it would be good to get into the, if you feel like it's going to happen, just say, I'm feeling like there's things that aren't working right now, and I don't know how to talk about this. So can we seek help together? Can we go to counseling together? And if the person has zero interest in working on something, or they don't think there's any issue, then there's already an issue. When they're like, I'm fine, okay, but I just told you I'm not. And will you come with me so that we can work on this together? And if they're then open to that, then you have some potentially good room for change and for actually for success. Try and seek that help before any of the other stuff happens. So, what else do we want to do? So, if you can, in that phase of when you're bargaining and negotiating, if you can maybe not reminisce with your partner and be like, remember the good times we had? Because when you start to think about good times, you're going to forget about the 99% of the bad times, and you're just going to think about the one or two sweet times, and you're going to fall into false hope, and it's just going to end up going back to crap. So instead of reminiscing, you need to look at what is sustainable here. Is there anything that can be sustained? Is there any potential for success here? And sometimes all the success factors, one of the main success factors is that both partners choose to be in it. That's one of the main success partners, the success parameters. And then the other success parameters would include things like communication and collaboration and creativity, like lots of C words. And so when you get into those and beliefs, sharing same moral compass can be really helpful as well. So don't compromise yourself just so that you're not alone, because you're just going to end up feeling worse. And then we move into that other phase where sadness actually starts to happen. And the thing is, sometimes, guys, these phases can happen in an hour. You could be going through all those phases in one night, and you could be going through all these phases over years. There's no defined timeline, and they're also not linear. We're just talking about what they are, and sometimes they bounce back and forth. You might go to sadness first, and then you might go to negotiating, and then you might go to something else, right? So they're stages, but they're not linear. So now we move on to like actually depression and sadness. And that's one of the ones to be, aware of, because you can get into that overwhelming sadness if somebody has died. There is that deep sobbing that can happen. And there can be, all those the deep, deep feelings where you just find yourself crying. And so, you might actually start to think, I'm going through depression. You might actually be going through depression. You might have hit such an extent of sadness that a lot of your happy hormones are just sunk, right? So dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin and endorphins, there may be just literally so low your body doesn't know how to recuperate them. I find that if you were in that sad phase, even getting one of those happy hormones in, for me, touch is so important that getting oxytocin in from a hug can be really helpful. Getting any of the different hormones in from different experiences, and I have an entire course on my website about happy hormones if you want to go grab that and figure out how to different things. There's even different so I talked about different not homeopathic necessarily, but herbal kind of remedies, as well as movement, as well as breath work, as well a whole bunch of different methods on how to get the happy hormones going. So if you are in that sadness phase and you need to know how to move out of it, please do go get that course. I don't think it's that, I don't even know what I charged for it. I'm sure it's under $50. maybe even 30. I don't know. It's not that much. So if you find yourself that you're constantly crying and all the tears you're having are just constantly coming up around your relationship, it's cool to cry, but you also need to balance that out. You need to find something that's going to get you out of that so that you don't fall into a deep black pit, because you might find that you're going to socially withdraw. You might find that you have physiological changes, like you have sleep patterns that change and appetite that changes, and that can be really hard on the body. So how do we cope with that? It's always good to have, to me, a support system, anybody you can talk to, somebody you can get a hug from, but also let yourself cry and then redirect those thoughts. Like if you're just feeling like, I'm never going to be loved again, I'll be single and alone forever, reframe that. Reframe that. So how do you reframe that? I'm going to be single and alone forever is like, right now I am experiencing. So you're not really alone, because you're never alone, right? Right now I get to experience everything I want when I want. I have total choice. I have total choice, and I can find so many people to love me. And then you need to find proof of that, because your body needs to know the proof. So find people who do love you, even if it's not a lover. Find and remember who loves you. And that was like one of the things I found when I was doing therapy for years and years. I did therapy as I had a really great, I had several great therapists, but one of my really great therapists, she did Gestalt therapy, but she would also get me to look at who loved me and then throw that person, as much as with Gestalt, you can throw the person that you're angry at in front of you. I could throw the person that loved me in front of me and receive the love from that person. And it wasn't about, and then I could love me too. So for me, I had to like remember what it was like to feel loved by at least one person and then be able to love myself. I found that helpful. So seek professional help for sure, support from somebody who knows what they're doing. We're going to head on to our last little bits of the grief process. I'm so sweaty up in here, guys. It's so weird and wild processing, I suppose. Thinking about so many people that I've been grieving in my life. Anyhow, we are going to head out to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Nilitsa Yelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Nilitsa Yelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Melitza every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Melitza Yelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilitsaYelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. If you haven't already, head on over to iTunes and search up The Pleasure Zone. Find me there. Follow me there. And then give some star ratings. I'd love a 5-star rating. I'd totally appreciate that. Also, on any of the platforms that you can like, comment, and share, please do that as well. If you do write comments, 99% of the time, they will get forwarded to me. And I will, I believe all comments get forwarded to me. And like 99% of the time, I will interact with you. So if you're looking to have a little interaction, that is one way to do it. And so we're talking about grief today, and we've moved on from like the anger and resentment and all those feelings. So like, but experiencing them, and we let ourselves experience them, and then really feeling the depression and the sadness, and Sometimes it's social withdrawal, but then we start to get strategies to be able to grieve. And then the strategies of letting yourself grieve, like I was talking about my great grandmother letting herself grieve, and then redirecting the thoughts about, oh no, I'm going to be by myself forever, instead, like enjoying all the adventures you could be on, and find the people who love you, and definitely seek any kind of support you can. So we've moved on from that to now you've gone through, sought support, have feel loved, you've gone through all that kind of sadness, and now you've moved into acceptance and healing. And so when we're in that phase of acceptance, how do we know if we're in acceptance? You've started to embrace like a new way of being, and you'll start to feel like it's okay. Yeah, that relationship is over. It's done. And then there's a new normal, and your new normal could involve new friendships, even sometimes, you know, even grieving things like a career, and then you find a new career, and then that's your new normal. And you might feel more emotionally stable. You might feel less likely to experience anger or sadness, or bouts, like intense bouts of anger and sadness. And, you know, as you start to heal that and you move through the sadness and grief and you come to acceptance, there's a lot of peace that comes with that. And usually when you're in acceptance too, you've probably begun to like reframe your reality, that, you know, you feel confident and happy in your life the way that it is, and everything else is an added bonus. Like I often talk about on this show, like I don't need Mike in my life, but he's such an amazing added bonus. So you can start to have closure too with the relationship. Do you need to ever talk to that person again? No, you really don't. It's really okay not to try and open the doors to that. It can be difficult when you have a child with somebody, but if they don't make any effort to be a parent, then you're not really losing anything. If they are making some kind of effort to co-parent with you, then there's a whole way to be with that that can be a little bit trickier. So the whole negotiating things can be a little bit more difficult because you're seeing that person because of children. So unless you have a method where, you know, you don't see each other and kids are here and they just get sent over to the parent. For the first little while, I don't think my parents interacted at all. My dad would drive into the driveway. We would get in the car. We would leave. He would drive back. We would get out and leave. So I think it was actually quite helpful for both of them to be able to get the reality check that we have, that they are divorced. My mom was quite okay with it before she even left. My dad was just shocked. And so it took him a long, long time to be able to accept it. I think he's now starting to actually really accept it. So we let go, we forgive, we move forward, and then we move on. And then we start to have more self-esteem. That's another thing you'll start to notice. And you start to explore things, and you know, the fear of trying new things goes away. And you feel like connecting with others and having new friends and getting new perspectives. Breakups are not going to be easy, guys, but what we can do is we can start to make them easier. We can start to have, you know, we can start to move on. So the moving on part is really important after the acceptance. You know, you've accepted it, you've embraced your new normal, you've let go. And then all of a sudden now you're like, hey, wait a second. I can have a new life. I have like self-esteem. I feel good about myself. Do I need a person in my life? No. But I like one just for an added bonus? Yeah, sure. It's the added bonus. It's when you're to the place where the person, having somebody in your life is the added bonus, is such a beautiful place to be. And remember, guys, these phases, there's five in there, you know, the first six. I say until you get to acceptance, probably the anger, rage, negotiations, and all of that stuff, they can flip back and forth sometimes. So be patient with yourself. And if you do need some support, I'm not a professional in grief counseling, but I can assist with a lot of emotional stuff. So if you want to get the trauma out, that's what I'm here for. So contact me and we can go through that.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.